Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. How was he, Srila Shukadev, the son of Vyasa, recognized by the citizens when he entered the city of Hastinapur, now Delhi, after wandering in the provinces of Kuru and Jangala, appearing like a madman, dumb and retarded? Purport. The present city of Delhi was formerly known as Hastinapur because it was first established by King Hasti. Goswami Shukadev, after leaving his paternal home, was roaming like a madman, and therefore it was very difficult for the citizens to recognize him in his exalted position. A sage is not, therefore, recognized by sight, but by hearing. One should approach a sadhu or great sage not to see, but to hear him. If one is not prepared to hear the words of a sadhu, there is no profit. Shukadev Goswami was a sadhu who could speak on the transcendental activities of the Lord. He did not satisfy the whims of ordinary citizens. He was recognized when he spoke on the subject of Bhagavatam, and he never attempted jugglery like a magician. Outwardly, he appeared to be a retarded, dumb madman, but in fact, he was the most elevated, transcendental personality. Shri Sukadeva Goswami ki jai. Om Adnante Mirandasya Snananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. I would like to beg blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas that are here, and all of you, and Vaishnavis. This is a very wonderful verse, because this verse talks about the identity of a devotee. And I would like to focus on some of the words in this verse, which have been emphasized by the previous acharyas and by Srila Prabhupada in different places. So the verse says, Katham alakshita paurahi. Paurahi means the city. Pura means city. And paurahi means the residence of the city. Katham alakshita. How was it possible for the residents of the city to recognize this Shukadev Goswami? Now we're dealing with the first canto, fourth chapter. In this chapter we see that the Shaunakadi Rishi, Shaunaka and other 88,000 sages who were his disciples, they come together and ask questions to Suta Goswami. And Suta Goswami has already finished describing the various incarnations of the Lord in brief. However, to make sure that however to make sure that Suta Goswami does not stop there, the Shaunaka and other rishis, they continue asking questions. And the question asked here is, how did Parikshit Maharaj meet Shukadeva Goswami? And how was Shukadeva Goswami recognized? Because actually he walks around unrecognizable. So, especially in the city of Hastinapur. So that is the first line. Katham alakshitaha paurai. How was he recognized? Sampraptaha Kuru Jangalan. Kuru Jangala is the area near Hastinapur. It is near Delhi, modern day Delhi. Actually, Hastinapur is more towards Meerut. So if you go northeast of Delhi, it's about the same distance as from here to Coventry. That's the kind of distance. So it's not close exactly. So that's where Hastinapur is, the ancient capital. And that's the place where Parikshit Maharaj ruled. So where was the Bhagavat Katha spoken? Anyone knows? Sorry? On the bank of the Ganga? Yes, just outside of Hastinapur. Just outside. You see, when a man is about to die, and he knows that he's going to die soon, in 7 days, he doesn't want to waste time traveling great distances, making big endeavors. So Parikshit Maharaj, who was just about to die, he decided to go outside of the city, because should he stay inside the city, then he would be continually attracted to his kingdom. So he decided to go just outside the city, in a place in modern India, it's called Shukratal. Actually, it's a corruption of the word Shukatala. Tala means tree, and Shuka means where Shukadevji spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this place is on the banks of Ganges. It's a beautiful place. Even today, the Akshay Vrikshaha, the imperishable tree, is there under which Shukadeva Goswami spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Parikshit Maharaj went there. And as he was seated there with all these different sages, and he had asked everyone, what should a dying man do? And everyone had given their different opinions, but they have also said, we do not really know. At that time, Shukadeva Goswami walks, but he walks through the city of Hastinapur, and hence this verse. And as he walks, he is 16-year-old, bluish in complexion, beautiful, effulgent, but he is stark naked. He walks not in a straight line, but like a madman. And he's quite a sight to behold, actually. So he's followed by many children and women who make fun of him. Some acharyas have said the children would even spit on him and throw stones at him just to get him to respond. But he was like a dead man walking. He had no external consciousness. So he could not be recognized by ordinary people. How then was he recognized by these Swit city dwellers? Actually, Vijayadvaja, one of the acharyas in the Madhva Sampradaya, he writes, Paurairapi yadnanam dushakam. In an ordinary city, it is difficult to understand who is a devotee. Kim punar antaha nivasi bihi. So how was it possible that Shukadeva Goswami was right almost in the heart of the city? Even the suburban audience cannot recognize a devotee. So how was it possible? Actually, that is true. Srila Prabhupada says that, he says in the fourth canto, one of the purports, that anyone who resides in a village or stays in the forest, he is staying in the mode of goodness. In the environment, of mode of goodness. Anyone who stays in the city is staying in the mode of passion. And then Prabhupada says, anyone who stays in brothels, in gambling houses, and in butcher shops is staying in the mode of ignorance. But then he ends by saying, but anyone who stays in the temple is living in Vaikuntha Loka. So here we see, when we are in the mode of passion, when we are in the city, we cannot recognize devotees. Why? Because anyone in the city, or for that matter every one of us, is conditioned to see things around us based on the predominant modes of nature that are acting on us. There's a beautiful verse in the Subhashita Ratnakar. I will skip the verse and I'll tell you the meaning. It says that there was a beautiful lady who goes out of her house. They live in a, you know, like a jungle-like area outside of the village. She goes outside her house to get some water from a well. The well is quite a distance away. As she's coming back, she plucks some fruits. And on her way back home, there is a place where a sage is meditating under a tree. And she desires to give these fruits to the sage. And so she walks back home and she gives the fruits to the sage. Just as she's done that and moved on, there is a very rich merchant who passes by. And he looks at her and he thinks about her. And she continues walking and there is a tiger who is in the bush hiding. And he's also looking at her. And at a distance, the child of that lady, 2-year-old child, he's at the door of the house and he's waiting for her. So you have 4 individuals looking at this lady. Who were the 4? The sage, the merchant, the child, and the tiger. And then the verse says that the tiger, when he looks at this beautiful lady, he thinks, ah, here comes the meal. When the rich merchant looks at this lady, he feels lusty and he wants to enjoy her. The mode of passion. When the child looks at the lady, he's thinking, oh, my mummy is coming. The mode of goodness. But when the sage looks at the lady, he thinks, here is a spirit soul who wants to serve me. So the verse reads that similarly, the same object, the beautiful lady, is looked at by different individuals depending on their own angle of vision. So one who is in the city cannot recognize the devotees. Actually, it's very difficult to recognize who a devotee is. We even see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, we're talking here about Hastinapur, Delhi, as Prabhupada says in the translation. Srila Prabhupada also was unrecognized in Delhi. In 1956, when he went to Delhi, under the instruction of Bhakti Sarang Goswami Maharaj, who was his godbrother, he asked him first to help him publish the Sajjana Toshini in Hindi, which was published as The Harmonist in English. Srila Prabhupada went to serve his godbrothers. He was not a sannyasi then. He was just Abhay Charan Bhaktivedanta Prabhu, they used to call him. And Prabhupada went there to serve his godbrothers and he thought, this is what I have to do. I have to serve my godbrothers. But he saw that in Delhi, all the brahmacharis, they're fighting. And his godbrothers were fighting for the possessions of his spiritual master. There was no peace But he was still persistently writing in Sajjana Toshini. And one day he was told, suddenly, that actually, Abhay Babu, you don't have to be here anymore. Because there's so much fight, it's not conducive for you. So you should leave. And Srila Prabhupada was left to himself. He had only two pairs of dhoti, and two pairs of kurta, and a shawl. And in the freezing winters of New Delhi, he was going from one place to another. First he stayed in a Vishnu temple, and then he was kicked out of there. He went and stayed in a college, Kapoor College of Commerce. He stayed there in a small room, which was actually a lab converted into a room. He would go there in the evening and stay there. And he was kicked out of there, and he met Narayan Das, the secretary of Birla Mandir, and he asked if he could stay in the Birla Mandir. And they said yes initially, and then they said no. What do you think we would do if we were being kicked out? Actually, it says, Satsurup Maharaj says at one place, and I've heard from Giriraj Maharaj, the Prabhupada was, even within a week, he was in two or three different places. He was constantly moving. If I was in that situation, the first thing that would come to my mind is, let me find a place to settle. A proper place I can be in. What was Prabhupada's goal? He was going around looking for donors so that he could publish his Chaitanya Charitamrita in Hindi and he could restart publishing the Back to Godhead magazine in English. So he was not looking for a permanent place. Just like Shukadev Goswami. He was not interested to stay in one place. And Prabhupada was dressed in this, two pairs. That's all he had. Just like Shukadev Goswami, he was only interested in spreading the message of Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada was only interested in publishing Back to Godhead. Nothing else. The message of Bhagavatam. The message of Godhead. He was not interested in staying anywhere. Just like Shukadev Goswami. And just like Shukadev Goswami found Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj found Shukadev Goswami. It is said actually that a guru finds a disciple and the disciple finds a guru. It's mutual. So when Parikshit Maharaj he found Shukadev Goswami and Shukadev Goswami found Parikshit Maharaj, they had a dialogue. And that dialogue between them was heard by thousands of others. And that is how Srimad Bhagavatam spread. Similarly, when Prabhupada met Sumati Morarji, Sumati Morarji was very inquisitive, pious lady from Pushti Marga Sampradaya. And she genuinely had an attraction for Krishna. So she would ask questions about Krishna. And Prabhupada would go and answer in the evenings. And that's how then she was elemental in having Prabhupada go to the West. So it is not possible for ordinary city dwellers to identify who a devotee is. In fact, on 21st November 1956, Srila Prabhupada approached the best man, the highest person in New Delhi. Who's the highest person in New Delhi? Who's the highest person in London? The Prime Minister, politically. Also the Queen. So the highest person in New Delhi is the President of India. And the first President of India was Rajendra Prasad. Srila Prabhupada wrote to him. And this is 9 years before Prabhupada even went to the West. So there was no, America was not even in sight. He didn't even know. Well, Prabhupada in one sense is transcendental, he knows. But apparently, he didn't know what was coming. And still, he writes this beautiful letter, and I want to read that. Not the whole letter, it's a long letter. But he's so bold. Prabhupada is so bold, he says, I've got the clue. He's writing to the president of India that, you know, the ultimate thing is to go back to Godhead. And I have a clue how you can get there. He's saying, I have got the clue of going back to Godhead. Just after leaving my present material body, and in order to take along with me all my contemporary men and women of the world, I have started my paper Back to Godhead as one of the means to the way. And just if the president thinks, well, this is some kind of a madman who's writing, he's saying he'll take us back to Godhead. Prabhupada continues, he says, please don't think of me as something wonderful or a madman when I say that I shall go back to Godhead after leaving my present material body! Exclamation mark. He says, don't think that I'm a madman if I'm saying this. It is quite possible for everyone and all of us. And then Prabhupada writes further, and he ends by saying, I'm crying alone in the wilderness at the present moment. So please help me in this noble cause and oblige. So Prabhupada is saying, don't consider me to be a madman. But still, what did Rajendra Prasad do? President of India, what did he do? He did not even reply. He did not even reply. So city dwellers cannot know who a devotee is. So we go further. It says, Sukadeva Goswami was unmatta muka jadavad. Now, how do you recognize someone? How do you recognize the caliber of someone? You recognize someone in three ways. By looking at the person, by hearing the person, and by dealing with the person. Well, there are only three ways to recognize someone, to identify how a person is. And we see, by looking at someone, can you recognize Sukadeva Goswami by looking at him? Why? Because by looking at Sukadeva Goswami, he was unmatta. Unmatta means he was like a madman. You could not look at him and say that he was a devotee. By speaking to him, you could have identified him, but he was muka. Muka means he was dumb. He wouldn't speak anything. By dealing with him, you could have told that he is a devotee. But he was jada, which means he wouldn't deal with anyone. He wouldn't have any transactions with anyone. He would be in his own world. So by seeing him, he was a madman. To try to interact with him, he was silent. And to deal with him or have any sensible dealings with him, well, he would not want to deal with anyone. So it was impossible, this verse says. It was impossible to understand Sukadeva Goswami. Actually, the appearance of a devotee, the body of a devotee is transcendental. The body of a devotee is transcendental. His words are transcendental. And his interaction is also transcendental. It's not easily understood. We see that in Srila Prabhupada. I'm reminded of a few wonderful pastimes of Prabhupada. Shruta Kirti Prabhu many years ago visited Radha Gopinath Mandir in Chopati. And he brought something very special with him. And after the class, literally hundreds of devotees lined up to have darshan of that. So what was that? So he narrated that while he was serving Srila Prabhupada, one day, Srila Prabhupada in the morning, early morning, rang his bell. Shruta Kirti Prabhu entered the room. Prabhupada had been translating. And Srila Prabhupada pointed at the table and said, take this away. Shuddha Ketu Prabhu had just been woken up from his sleep. So he was still, you know, it was really early in the morning. And Shuddha Ketu Prabhu looked at that and he said, what is this thing? Where does it come from? It was, you know, reddish in color, white in the background. And he picked it up and he realized it was a molar, a tooth. Very big. And it had a huge hole in it. And he said, Prabhupada, you know, he wanted to ask, is this yours? But it was obvious. It was Prabhupada's. And Prabhupada went on dictating and translating. He didn't have any, and Shuddha Ketu Prabhu has kept this with him. Prabhupada's tooth. I've had darshan. And he was telling how it would have, he actually went to many dentists and he asked them, you know, what kind of a pain would a person feel if he had a hole this size in his tooth? They said, well, first of all, it would develop over many months. And it's not practically possible for somebody to bear that pain unless one is either on drugs or unconscious. Prabhupada was neither of those. So transcendental. A devotee's body is transcendental. Once I heard from His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj that Prabhupada went to South America. And in South America, Prabhupada was having, you know, he was having his darshan and then giving a class in the open. While he was giving class in the open, it was summer, peak of the summer, and lots of mosquitoes. And Giriraj Maharaj says, mosquitoes the size of cockroaches in India. So big mosquitoes. Swarms of them, they were attacking all the devotees. And Prabhupada, if you've seen Prabhupada speak, he would many times close his eyes and he would just be absorbed and continue speaking. And Prabhupada was continuing speaking on his Vyasasan. And not a single mosquito approached Prabhupada. Hundreds of them were biting all the devotees. Nobody could pay attention to what Prabhupada was saying because they were all trying to defend themselves from the mosquitoes. But not a single mosquito approached Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada stopped. He opened his eyes and he said, any questions? And then I think it was his secretary or his personal servant. He raised his hand and he said, Prabhupada, is it true that a pure devotee is not attacked by mosquitoes? And Prabhupada, well, he knew perhaps why the question was being asked, or maybe he didn't look around, but Prabhupada spontaneously answered, yes, that's true. A pure devotee's body is transcendental. However, and mosquitoes don't bite him. However, in Vrindavan, they make no distinction. This is Prabhupada's answer. So, transcendental. Devotee's body is transcendental. Devotee's words are transcendental. Prabhupada in these early days, he meets one Mr. Rubin on a park bench. And Mr. Rubin says, are you from India, Swami? And Prabhupada says, yes, I'm from India. What do you do? Tell me about you. And Prabhupada says, oh, I have 108 temples. He didn't have a single. I have 108 temples around the world. And then he paused and he said, only time is separating us. This is the power of Prabhupada's words. In fact, he would, even in Bhaktivedanta Manor, he would sit in his room and he would listen to the class that he had given previously. He would listen while having breakfast. He would sometimes listen to his own class. And someone asked him, why do you listen to your own classes, Srila Prabhupada? And he immediately said, these are not my words. These are words of Krishna. Sometimes I've heard, he said, Krishna made me speak. So the words of a devotee are transcendental. His body is transcendental. And his activities are transcendental. You can never really comprehend. I mean, so many pastimes we can think of. So many wonderful pastimes can be thought of. Well, one that comes to mind is, you know, Prabhupada would say that only dogs and Englishmen would go out in the midday sun. Yeah, in India, when it is really hot, 45 degrees, the English would go out to bask in the sun, and they would only be met with dogs on the street. The Indian population would stay inside the house. But Prabhupada himself, when he had to sell his Back to Godhead magazine, distribute those magazines, he would go out in the midday sun in 47 degrees in Delhi. And even the tea stalls would be closed. And Prabhupada would sit there waiting for someone to pass by whom he could give. So Prabhupada's mood to distribute this message was just like that of Shukadeva Goswami. Now we'll continue quickly. There's a few things I wanted to discuss. So how was Shukadeva Goswami recognized? He was recognized by the sages. In fact, it is said in 1st Canto, chapter 19, verse 28, Pratyutthitas te munayaha swasanebhyaha tallakshanadnapi gudavarchasam. Although Shukadeva Goswami could not be recognized ordinarily, the rishis, the other devotees, could recognize him. How? Through lakshana, because they were lakshana, they could recognize the physiognomy. Physiognomy means the signs of the bodily signs. So it is said an emperor, a samrat, and a paramhamsa, a pure devotee, has 32 signs by which you can recognize. And these devotees, the rishis, they could recognize these 32 signs in Shukadeva Goswami. These 32 signs are also mentioned in Bhagavatam, in those, you know, verse 26 to 28. And if somebody is a king, then he has 16 signs. So like that, you know. But really speaking, Prabhupada says in the purport, a sage is not therefore recognized by sight, but by hearing. So really Shukadeva Goswami was recognized only when he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. But then somebody might say, why did Shukadeva Goswami act the way he did? Why did he keep himself unknown? This is true. Even Prabhupada was unknown. He was a grihastha. He would speak sometimes, lecture sometimes in the Gaudiya Math when he was invited. He would write his articles. He would study Srimad Bhagavatam privately. But he had so many senior sannyasi god brothers, god sisters, so many other grihastha and brahmachari, hundreds of brahmachari god brothers. And when he once asked Srila Prabhupada, asked Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur if he could move into the ashram, he told the temple president, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj told the temple president, keep him out of here. He is better outside. Because he knew that Prabhupada was, and that's why, you know, there's a book, beautiful book, A Lifetime in Preparation. He was preparing, he was a grihastha. So, a devotee is meant to remain avyakta. And there's a beautiful instruction, 7th Canto, chapter 13, verse number 10. Narad Muni is instructing Yudhishthir Maharaj on how a perfect person should behave. The title of the chapter is The Behavior of a Perfect Person. And this verse says, avyaktalingo vyaktartho. One who is deeply realized, he should remain unnoticed. Avyaktalingo. Second instruction of Narad Muni for a devotee. Manishi Unmata Balavat. Even though he is a great thinker, he is extremely learned. He may appear like a child who is foolish. Kavir Mukavad Atmanam. Although he is a great poet, kavi, or extremely good orator, he behaves as if he doesn't know how to speak. In simple words, a devotee keeps himself hidden. Sadrishtya darshayen rinam. So Vamshidhar Goswami in his commentary writes, Lokasanga pariharanarthayam ayam ittham acharet iti bhavah. Lokasanga pariharanartham. To avoid ordinary people from disturbing one's bhajan, one's devotional service, a great personality will sometimes hide himself. And Gaur Kishodas Babaji was asked once, why is it that sometimes Vaishnavas, actually I would like to say before that, something comes to my mind, just after this verse, I think if I'm not wrong, just after this verse, Prahlad Maharaj, there's an example given by Narad Muni to Yudhishthir Maharaj about Prahlad Maharaj meeting a python sage. Have you heard of him? A python sage? Ajgara Munihi. So, please read about it in 13th chapter. I think it should be verse 11 onwards, up to the end of the chapter. It's very nice. The python sage and his two gurus, the bees and the python. So this gives you the gist of how devotees actually don't want to reveal themselves. So Gaur Kishodas Babaji Maharaj was asked once, why is it that sometimes devotees, we've heard about the qualities of the devotees, the 26 qualities of a devotee, but the devotees behave in a way that is contrary to these qualities. Why? And Gaur Kishodas Babaji Maharaj said, two wonderful things. First thing he said, that actually a devotee chooses to behave that way because he wants to be hidden. And second he said, Krishna does not want the devotee to be known in public. Why? Why do you think Krishna does not want the devotee to be known to the public? Because Gaur Kishodas Babaji Maharaj says, if a devotee is known to the public as a great devotee, and ordinary people start surrendering to that devotee, Krishna will have no choice but to become dear to those ordinary people also, because he is so dear to this devotee. So he does not want to give himself so easily. So he purposefully hides the identity of the devotee. And sometimes devotee himself hides his identity. And Gaur Kishodas Babaji Maharaj gives an example that I have seen, he says, that I have seen a great sage in Vrindavan. This is a very nice pastime. I've seen a great sage in Vrindavan and Radhakund. He was very learned, a wonderful Vaishnava, and many people would approach him asking questions, asking blessings. And once he decided, I don't want to be disturbed by these ordinary people. So he had one person who was very favorable to him. He was a big businessman in Calcutta. This sage in Vrindavan, in Radhakund, he had this disciple. Not a disciple, but a well-wisher. A big Calcutta businessman. So this Calcutta businessman approached this sage of Radhakund. This is narration given by Gaur Kishodas Babaji. And he approached and said, how can I serve you? So this sage in Radhakund, he said, well, if you want to serve me, please do this. For the rest of your life, please pay this sweeper's wife every month 50 rupees, which is a lot of money in those days. It's like paying somebody 5,000 pounds a month. To do what? This sweeper's wife is very young and beautiful. Just ask her to sit outside my bhajan kutir all throughout the day. She can do what she wants. She has to just stay outside my bhajan kutir. So the Calcutta businessman said, why? And the sage said, well, I want everyone to think that I am simply a materialistic person. And I'm enjoying with this woman. So please pay her to stay outside my bhajan kutir. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji himself, when he was in Kuliagram, in Koladweep, in Kuliagram he stayed 6 months there. You know where he stayed? He stayed in the latrine. Latrine is public toilet. He stayed in one of the public toilets, he put the latch and he stayed inside. He didn't come out for 6 months. And the government officials were called. And they knocked the door and they said, please come out. We'll build you a nice bhajan kutir. And he said, the presence of non-devotees who approach me and disturb me is more unbearable than the smell of stool and urine. So I'm better here, he said. This was him, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So sometimes devotees, but when devotees want to reveal themselves, they reveal themselves. So who reveals devotees? How can a devotee be revealed? A Vaishnava can only be revealed by three ways, that's it. Number one, a Vaishnava reveals himself. We see in the example of 5th canto, Jad Bharata and King Rahugana. King Rahugana is saying, you are very old and very thin actually. Jad Bharata was very fat. He had a big round belly. Very fat. And he was very strong and very young. But Rahugana was taunting him. But when Jad Bharata wanted to reveal his real identity, he did on his own accord. So one, a Vaishnava can reveal himself or herself. We cannot understand a Vaishnava. Second, another Vaishnava can reveal a Vaishnava. Any example? We see in the case of Premanidhi. Premanidhi is our Mukunda and Gadadhar Pandit, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi appeared to be like a very, you know, man who was very materialist. He was chewing paan and he's having different spittoons in which he's spitting. And Mukunda is taking Gadadhar Pandit, who is renounced from childhood, and saying, I'm going to take you to a great Vaishnava. And I'll take you to him on one condition. After seeing him, if you find any pleasure, then you have to agree to make me your servant. See, this is how he was saying. So Mukunda, he took Gadadhar Pandit. And our Premanidhi was the name given by Mahaprabhu to Pundarika Vidyanidhi. So this Pundarika Vidyanidhi is chewing paan. He has young women fanning him with peacock feather. He's sitting in a canopy made of silk. A soft red colored bed. All this description is given in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And when Gadadhar Pandit sees him, he is bewildered. This man is a pure devotee. What is Mukunda saying? And he asked Mukunda, how is he a pure devotee? I fail to understand. And Mukunda sings the beautiful verse, Aho Bakiyam Stanakalakutam. When he sings the verse, how Krishna even delivered Putana, who came to kill him. Hearing that, Pundarika Vidyanidhi jumps up, goes into trance, starts crying, and he breaks away all the pots and pans, and his canopy falls off, and his dress is torn, and he becomes unconscious for 6 hours. And Gadadhara Pandit understands his real identity. So Vaishnava Pundarik Vidyanidhi was revealed by another Vaishnava, Mukunda. So we cannot recognize Vaishnavas. We factually don't know who the person is sitting in front of us, sitting to our left, sitting to our right, sitting behind us. We factually don't know who they are. And what their relation is with Krishna. Even Srila Prabhupada. Many times his disciples would say, Srila Prabhupada, you are fearless. Just see, we have attained such a big success because you are so bold and fearless. And Srila Prabhupada would say, No, I am not fearless. And then if they insist that he was fearless, Prabhupada would say, yes, I am a Calcutta boy. He would not say, I am a pure devotee. He said, no, I am fearless because I am Calcutta boy. You know, just like if you ask somebody that he is very fearless and he says, oh, that's fine, I am a Glasgow boy. You know, there's too much crime in Glasgow. I'm a Glasgow boy, so I'm fearless. So Prabhupada would say, oh, I'm fearless because I'm a Calcutta boy. I grew up in Calcutta. But then Prabhupada would sometimes reveal his real identity. Once on Venice Beach, Prabhupada was asked, Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And he came in Kali Yuga to distribute the holy name and give pure devotional service. Because he is Krishna himself, he could have made the whole world Krishna conscious himself. Why did he not do that? The devotee asked. Srila Prabhupada, looking at the rising sun in the ocean, he stood there, very grave, put his walking stick in the sand, look at the sun, you know, his head high. We've seen that photo of Prabhupada, how he would stand. And Prabhupada said, because he wanted me to do it. Did you hear the question? What was asked? Why did Mahaprabhu not make the whole world Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, because he wanted me to do it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, this is how a devotee reveals himself. There is no other way to reveal who a devotee is. And sometimes a devotee appears to... the third way that a devotee is revealed is by Krishna himself. Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 22nd, I think it says, only Nityananda Prabhu can reveal who a Vaishnava is. And that's why we have to be very careful not to judge who we are with. We can never know. As Prabhupada would quote this very often, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vidnena Bhujai. One is not able to understand who a Vaishnava is, what the real quality of a Vaishnava is. And who was the most avadhut Vaishnava? Yes, Nityananda Prabhu. He would sometimes go and he would propose a beautiful young girl belonging to the Muslim community. He would hold her hand and say, would you marry me? We will chant Harinam together. Sometimes he would look at the Ganga and think it was Yamuna and would jump in the Ganges, and there were ferocious big crocodiles, and he would embrace the crocodiles and say, chant Hari's name, chant Hari's name, embracing the crocodile. So this is Nityananda Avadhut. And sometimes he would enter into a pub, into where they would sell wine and a wine distillery. And he would go inside and say, I want to sell you the topmost wine. the topmost intoxicant of the chanting of the holy name. So, you know, that is how he was. But externally, if somebody would think him holding the hand of a girl, or think of him entering into a pub, they might offend him. So there is only one verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally has written or created in glorification of Nityananda Prabhu. There is only one verse. I could not find, but maybe you could correct me, but I could not find in any of the literature Mahaprabhu himself composing this verse. And he composes this verse to establish that a Vaishnava cannot be understood. But a Vaishnava may reveal himself or herself. Or another Vaishnava may reveal them. Or Nityananda Prabhu may reveal them. Only three ways to understand a Vaishnava. And this verse I will read and we finish there. Mahaprabhu writes in Chaitanya Bhagavat Antya Leela, beautiful verse. He says, Grihiniyad Yavani Panim. If this man is holding tightly the hand of a beautiful Muslim girl, Yavani girl, or a Mlecha girl, even if he is holding her hand very tightly, Vishedva Shondikalayam, or if he is entering the wine distillery, this man, who is this man? Tathapi Brahmano Vandyam. Even then, he is most worshipable. Even when he is holding the hand of a beautiful Yavani girl, or he is entering the wine distillery, he is still the most worshipable. By whom? By all of us? Not just by all of us. He says, Tathapi Brahmano Vandyam. He is worshipable even by Brahma. What to speak of ordinary people? Who is that? Nityananda Padambujam. The lotus feet of Nityananda Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, are worshipable even by Brahma, even when he acts in ways that are not understood. So one must be very careful how one approaches a Vaishnava. External form of a Vaishnava cannot reveal him. You know, Vaishnavas can be all different types. All different types. Do you know any Vaishnava from Bhagavatam who was very, very young? Young Vaishnava? The four Kumaras? Always 5 years old. But constantly 5 years old. Huh? So Vaishnavas can be young. Old Vaishnava? Example? Huh? Bhishma is old? Yes. But the oldest Vaishnava? Okay, I want the best of examples from Bhagavatam. Let's do a little 2-minute quiz. Oldest Vaishnava. 12th canto Bhagavatam says Markandeya Rishi. He lives for 7 kalpas. One kalpa is 4.32 billion years. 7 kalpa will be over 30 billion years. I mean, that's old, isn't it? 30 billion years, it said in the Bhagavatam. So Vaishnava can be young, old. What about thin and fat? And everything in between. Thin Vaishnava. Give me the best of example from Bhagavatam. Even I have to now wonder, because it's spontaneous. Sudama, yes. Chapter 90, correct. 10th canto. Very good. It says, Sudama's description is that even his veins of his body, every single vein in his body was visible. This description is there in Bhagavatam. Thin. Fat Vaishnava? Huh? Sorry? The python? Sage? What else? Who else? The fattest. He had such a big belly that when he would walk, he would almost hold his belly. Jada Bharata. He had a big belly. thin Vaishnava, fat Vaishnava. What about voracious eater? They eat a lot of prasadam. It's prasadam time. Bhima. Yeah. The best of the eaters. How much Bhima would eat, Prabhu? Do you know? How much does one elephant eat? One bucket of dal? One elephant? So one elephant needs to eat almost 400 kilos. And Bhima would eat, in one sitting, he could eat the meal of 100 elephants. I mean, that's quite something. Yeah. So Bhima, in Bhagavad Gita, he's mentioned as Vrukodaraha. Vruka means a wolf. Udara means belly. Wolf belly. Keep eating, 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 never stopping. Someone who does not eat, example, somebody who stopped eating completely, Dhruva Maharaj. In fact, it is said later months he was only eating air. What about the Vaishnavas in different varnas in ashrama? What about rich Vaishnava? Oh, tell me about rich Vaishnava. Huh? Prataparudra? Rich Vaishnava from Bhagavatam. Huh? Yudhishthir Maharaj is a rich Vaishnava. But it is said the richest Vaishnava in the Bhagavatam was Amrish Maharaj. Everything. All the planet's wealth, not just earthly. Yudhishthir Maharaj, earthly wealth. Amrish Maharaj, all the planet's wealth. And the poorest Vaishnava in Bhagavatam? Sudama again. Sudama Vipra had nothing. What about a Brahmana Vaishnava? The best of Brahmana Vaishnava? Narad Muni was a Brahmana. What about, oh, there are so many Brahmana Vaishnavas. Vaishya? Huh? Nand Maharaj, yes. Who was the best of the Kshatriya Vaishnava? Arjuna. The best of the Shudra Vaishnava from Bhagavatam? Vidura. Yes. Previously Yamaraj. Then what about Brahmachari? The best of Brahmachari Vaishnava? Somebody who was Naishthika Brahmachari. Although in the world outside, dealing everywhere, Bhishma Dev. Also Mahajan. And what about Brahmachari, then Grihastha Vaishnava? Best of a Grihastha? So many Grihastha Vaishnavas are there. Huh? Prithu Maharaj. What about Vanaprasthi Vaishnava? Oh, this might be a little difficult. Huh? Kardama, he took Vanaprastha, yes. Also, even Dhritarashtra, even Yudhishthir Maharaj took Vanaprastha. I think first canto, chapter 15? Yeah, chapter 15. 15. Yudhishthir Maharaj taking Vanaprastha with all his brothers and wife, everyone. Sannyas Vaishnava, Narad Muni again. So you see, Vaishnava is born in Mlecha family, demoniac family. Prahlad Maharaj, born to a demon family. Vritrasura. Vaishnava is born in pious family. Parikshit Maharaj. So we see all spectrum. In fact, Vaishnavas who are not even humans. Give me example. Gajendra. Who else? Jambavati, yeah. Jatayu. Hanuman. Jai. Oh, Hanuman reminds me of something. I was listening to a class of Prabhupada recently in Hindi. And he is speaking to Brajvasis in Manamandir in Hindi. And you know, even in Prabhupada's time, the locals may sometimes not go to the Krishna Balaram Mandir because they consider Krishna Balaram Mandir as Angrez Mandir. Angrez Mandir means the English temple. It's not traditional. So we should not go there. So Prabhupada is saying in the class in Hindi, he's saying, you should not think of these disciples of mine as English or American or white or black. You should not think like that, that we are from the Angrez Mandir, from the English temple. Because you all worship Hanuman, he said. And then he says, Hanuman was not even a human being. He was a monkey. You don't have a problem worshipping a monkey. Why should you, have problem worshipping these humans? They are humans. A Vaishnava is neither a monkey nor a white man, Prabhupada says. Yeah? A Vaishnava is a Vaishnava. It's nothing like, oh, white man Vaishnava, monkey Vaishnava, Indian Vaishnava. So, Vaishnavas are hard to recognize. That is the sum and substance of this verse. Katham alakshitaha paurai sampraptaha kuru jangalan unmatta muka jadavat vicharan gajasahavaye. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samved bhakta vrinda ki jai.